Father, we give you thanks and praise that we can gather together in your name and gather together in the name of Jesus, whom you've sent to die for our sins. And we are thankful to you that we can worship you freely and call out to you and sing songs to you and now continue worshiping you through the hearing of the word. And I pray, O Father God, that you would come in our midst and your presence would be felt by everybody here. The Spirit of God as well would just move in our hearts. And as the light that shone in the heart of Saul, the great persecutor who then became the great servant, I pray that same light, the glory of God, would shine in our hearts as well. And that you might reveal to each one their spiritual status, their spiritual condition before you, that you might have your way in all of our hearts, that we would cease wrestling against you, that we would submit to your lordship, that we would come to the end of ourselves and follow you. And may the first words of our mouth from now on be the same words that came from Saul's mouth. Lord, what do you want me to do? God, I pray that that would be our words from our hearts, that that would be the desire of our life, that this world would no longer have a hold of our hearts. We would be solely given to you for your use, to be used by you to glorify your name in this world that we're living in this century, Lord. Use us. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to understand the truth of thy word. I pray that you will be glorified. I pray for those who could not make it today, perhaps because they're sick, not feeling well. I pray that you would heal them. Your presence would be with them as well. I pray, O God, for those who will be watching this service from home. O God, I pray that their hearts are ministered to. And if they're looking for a church, that they would find Calvary to be a good home. God, I pray that we would all not only believe upon Jesus, but we would belong to a church and serve you in that body. So have your way today. Help me to teach your people. Thank you for the visitors we have today. Thank you for the regular attenders. May each one feel at home. May your spirit work in all of our hearts and speak through your servant today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's great to be back together this morning with you this Sunday. We are, for those who don't know, we've been teaching through the book of Acts, and we're now coming to chapter 22. And it's been a great study. The Bible says in Psalm 107 that it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." All those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, those who have met Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're called the redeemed. You've been redeemed. You've been bought with a price. And Psalm 107 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And so this chapter that we're looking at this morning in Acts 22 is just that. It's Paul, the apostle, giving a testimony of how his life has changed. He's defending his faith. He's defending his walk with God. He's defending his actions before these Jewish people. He's been arrested and he's defending himself before this hostile crowd. And so all of us as children of God, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you ought to be able to testify of God's grace in your life. You are the redeemed. And the Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." So every child of God ought to have a testimony of how God has changed their life. This morning we're going to look at how Paul the apostle shares his testimony of how he knows his life has changed. So we come to a point in our study of Acts, a place that basically encompasses all of a whole chapter. And from this point on in our study in Acts, we're going to be looking at a chapter at a time. Normally, I just take a passage at a time out of that chapter, and I break up the chapters that way, and we can continue that pace. But we've been in the book of Acts for almost 2 years, so I think it's enough time given that. And also, the reason why I'm going to just do a chapter at a time is I think we've settled something. We've demonstrated the main point of the book of Acts. The main point of the book of Acts and the main reason why I decided to teach from this book is this. What kind of church does God want us to be? What kind of church does God want us to be? And I hope you've seen time and time again, we've seen the church following the words of Jesus. Jesus says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that you shall be my witnesses. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you should be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. And so we've seen the church basically go out into the world and preach the gospel. Now we come to a place in the book of Acts where the focus has primarily been on Paul's life, or mainly the end of his life. And chapters 20 all the way to chapter 28 will reflect on the days of Paul as he's a missionary for God. He's a man on mission. So as we look at this, these remaining chapters, I want us to look at it in this way, that just as Paul is a man on mission with God, and we focus on his life, we all want to be a man or a woman on mission with God, going out into all the world and proclaiming and defending our faith and living as a testimony before this world that we're living in. And so as we look at these different passages, and especially today, we will learn how to do that. In today's message, we simply see Paul defending himself. He's been arrested in Jerusalem. This is what he was warned. The Holy Spirit warned Paul over and over again that he would have a tough time, that when he went up to Jerusalem, he would have a tough time. It would not be open arms saying, "Woo, we're glad you're home, Paul." No, they would not look at Paul that way. Paul was their enemy, and the Holy Spirit was telling him over and over again that you're going to have a hard time when you get back up to Jerusalem. And what does Paul say in Acts chapter 20, verse 24? He says, "But none of these things move me. None of these threats, none of these warnings move me. Why? I do not count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." And that is what Paul is going to be doing in his chapter 22. He is going to testify of the gospel of the grace of the Lord Jesus. The Jewish people all believe that they are going to be saved through law. They're going to be saved through duty. They're going to be saved by being zealous to the things of God, being faithful to go to the temple, be a good religious person, follow the laws of God. And Paul says, no, God's word says, no, we're only saved through the gospel of grace, which comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul is going to testify when he comes up to Jerusalem. So he's been accused. He's been arrested by the religious leaders. They've accused him of defiling the temple of God, something that he's not done. He's been accused of speaking against the Jewish religion. He's been accused of speaking against the law of God. And he's also been accused of speaking against all that Judaism counts dear to itself, which would be the temple of God. They held the temple in high esteem. It was the only place they could worship God. Their relationship with God consisted of that temple. Outside the temple was different. In the temple was where their relationship stood. And so Paul violated the temple of God according to what they believed. And so Paul is going to defend himself. How is he going to defend himself? He's going to tell the truth. He's going to tell the truth. There's nothing like the truth. The truth is the best defense you can give. If you know the truth, you give the truth. The truth is the best defense you can give. As soon as you start lying, as soon as you start saying things that are partially true, You're going to find yourself digging yourself a hole, going further and further. Just tell the truth. And so Paul is going to tell the truth. And I got a question for you. Maybe you've heard this before. If you've been accused of being a Christian, if you've been accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to prove that claim? If someone accused you of being a Christian, maybe it was illegal to be a Christian, and you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to prove it? Well, three times in the book of Acts that we're studying, Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, records for us the conversion of Saul to Paul the apostle. In Acts chapter 9, in Acts 22, and again in Acts 26, Luke chooses, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, to give us the conversion, how this man Saul got converted. Now listen to me. If the Holy Spirit chose to give to us in black and white in one book of the Bible the testimony of Paul the Apostle and how he got saved, if it does it three times in the same book, what does that tell you? That it is really, really important that God took a man who was the great persecutor who was trying to destroy the church of God, and God intervened in his life and radically saved him. If God can take Saul and radically change his life, there is no one too far away from the cross of the Lord Jesus. You just got to, when the light of God shines upon you and God reveals to you that you are a sinner, you just respond and say, Lord, I need you to save me. Save me. And God's light will come into you. He will save you, and your life will radically change. And the pathway you were on at one time, you'll no longer be on that pathway. You'll be in a whole new pathway, glorifying God and living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It happened to all of us. And so Paul's conversion shocked the world. So I want you to follow me as I go through Acts 22. There's a little handy-dandy outline that we have there in your bulletin. You can follow along. We're going to see three distinct points of life experience that Paul testifies in his life. Three that each of us need to ask ourselves where we're at in our life. Three distinct experiences. Number one, our past life without Christ is found in verses 1 through 5. Everyone has a past life, who we were before we met Jesus. Some of us are still in that past life. You've not met Jesus yet. You're still living in the past. You're still living in your sins. You're still living in whatever life that you're accustomed to. But when you meet Jesus, that becomes the past. That's no longer the present. It becomes the past. All of us come to the Lord in different ways. Paul is going to give his testimony, and he's going to share his past. The first thing he does is he addresses the crowd in a very polite way. Luke points out that he spoke in the Hebrew language. It's quite interesting that Paul not only knew Hebrew, but he also knew Greek. If you look up there in verse 37 and 38, he spoke to the commander in Greek. So Paul was a very intelligent man. He spoke in Greek, and he spoke as well in Hebrew. And so he speaks in Hebrew. He gets their ear, and they're all listening to what he's saying. And in verse 3, Paul makes it clear that although he is a believer in Jesus, he never stopped being a Jew. Even though he is a believer in Jesus, he never stopped being a Jew. One never stops being Jewish when he or she becomes a believer in Jesus. In fact, we can say that you don't stop being Jewish, you just become a completed Jew. You're complete now because you've met the Messiah whom God sent to save the Jewish people. And when they rejected the Messiah, God turned to the Gentiles, which will probably be most people in this room right now. We're Gentiles. And so we've been privileged to hear the gospel because the Jewish people rejected the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is stating that he is Jewish because he's being accused of abandoning the Jewish religion. If you look over at chapter 21, verse 21, This is what the church was telling Paul. But they have been informed about you that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children nor to walk according to the custom. So this is what Paul is being accused of he's no longer Jewish. He's trying to turn people away from the Jewish religion. And Paul is defending himself. The opposite is true. He says there in verse 3, I am indeed a Jew. He's still Jewish. Born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of who? Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of the Father's law. That man, Gamaliel, was a well-known Jewish leader. He taught a Jewish school. He gave advice in Acts chapter 5, verse 34 to the Jewish leaders when they were ready to persecute the apostles. He was the most noted rabbi of his time. He led a liberal faction of the Pharisees. And listen to this. Paul was his most prized student when he was Saul at that time. He was this man Gamaliel's prized student. I wonder how Gamaliel feels about Saul now. That Saul has turned from all of his teaching and he has embraced Jesus Christ as his Lord Jesus Christ. And look what Paul says about his own life in verse 3. He says that he was zealous toward God as you all are today. Paul was not your ordinary Jewish person. He was zealous. This means that he was enthusiastic. He was loyal to Judaism. He embraced it to the full extent. He was not like other Jews who just put up with Christianity and try to just live with all the Christians who were around him. He tried to get rid of Christianity. He was zealous. And so he calls to the witness stand these Jewish leaders who would have known all about his old life. For they themselves had given Paul permission to go to Damascus and bring down Christianity and to bring these Christians back to Jerusalem to be on trial. And so he commends these Jewish people for their zeal, but he says, I am much more zealous than you ever were. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 14, you don't have to turn to it. Just listen to what it says. He says, Paul says about his own life, I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation. Listen, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. How zealous was Paul? How zealous was he? In verses 4 and 5 of Acts 22, he says, this is how zealous I was. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. Catch that phrase, folks. He's bringing and arresting both men and women. When you arrest a woman, you're probably going to leave a bunch of children without a mom. This is what Saul was doing. He was zealous for Judaism, trying to stamp out Christianity. He was the Issa of his day, trying to wipe out Christianity. But something happened. On his way to kill more Christians, Paul meets Jesus. And the reason why Paul is explaining all this is to discredit those who are saying that he's trying to persuade Jews from Judaism to stop being Jewish. Paul is saying, no one should question my loyalty to the Jewish faith or to God's law. And so all of us have a past life. You're either living in your past or you've been delivered from your past. Paul was a very religious man, devout, jealous. But listen, being zealous for God and following God's laws and doing all the things that Paul was doing. You can go to church all your life. You can read your Bible and be zealous for all the things of God and still die and wind up in hell. You can still do all of those religious things and they will not get you into heaven. You know why? Because you're lost. You are lost. You need to have a direct encounter with Jesus Christ to have your sins forgiven. You can be religious all your life, but if you don't know Jesus, you're on your way to hell. And that's where Paul was heading. That was his life without Christ. How about you? How about me? Are you still living in your past sins? Are you still living in your past accomplishments? They will not get you into heaven. So each of us have a past life without Christ. But if you're a child of God, you also have circumstances that have led you to Christ. You have circumstances that have led you to Christ. In verses 6 through 16, we're going to see what Paul's circumstances were that led him to Christ. Everyone comes to Christ in their own unique way. Some are raised in a religious home, even in a Christian home. Some are not. But the circumstances will all be familiar. If you look at verse 6, you'll see some words that Paul brings to highlight his testimony. Look what it says there in verse 6. Now it happened as I journeyed. Notice it happened. It wasn't something that was planned. Paul bought a ticket for Judaism. That's what he thought would get him to heaven. But it happened on his way to Damascus to take out more Christians. His life is radically going to change. He says, as I journeyed and came near Damascus at about noon, suddenly, catch that word, suddenly, a great light from heaven shone all around me. Suddenly demonstrates this great light that shone all around Saul and knocked him off his horse is the glory of God. The glory of God came from heaven and directly blinded this man with such a great light from the presence of the Lord, he could not see where he was going, knocked him off his horse. He was blinded by that light. The same glory that every time the angels came down from heaven to visit the earth, when the angels visited Mary or Elizabeth, it was this great light that came from God that shone all around the people because the angels were in the presence of God. That light that shone onto Paul and blinded him, the Bible says is the same light that's got to come to you and to me. It doesn't come in the same way and knock us off our horse. But the light of the gospel of Christ has to come into your heart and open up your blind and my blind eyes to our sin and our lack of salvation. If that light has never come and opened up your eyes, the light bulb and set, and you say, oh, that's right. I've been heading in the wrong direction. I've been living my life the wrong way. If that light's never shown you your sin and revealed to you that you need a Savior, you can be religious all your life. Read your Bible. Go to church. Do things for God. Be zealous for all of the things of God and still die and go to hell. The light of the glory of Christ has to come in and open up a person's eyes to reveal to them that they're lost. I read this verse earlier, 2 Corinthians 4:6. It says, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness. Do you hear that? When you are without Christ, your heart is filled with darkness of sin. And when you hear the gospel message that Jesus died for your sins, the light comes from the gospel. Just as God spoke the world into existence and said, let there be light, and there was light, that same light, he's saying here, God commanded his light to shine out of darkness, shine into the darkness and dispel the darkness. That's the same light that takes place. So if you want to know, if you're sitting here, I want to know, do I know Jesus? Am I saved? Am I going to heaven when I die? Has the light come into your soul? Has it opened up your eyes to your sin? Has it opened up your eyes to your need for the gospel, for your need for God? Has it done that? Are you awake to spiritual things, or are spiritual things like, I'll get to it when I get to it? No. Suddenly is also telling us here that salvation is not a process. Christianity is not something that you become one day. Suddenly, boom, the light bulb comes on and you're like, wow! Jesus died for my sins. He was buried. I believe. Now, don't confuse two things, justification and sanctification. Justification means that you'll get right with God. That happens the moment you believe in Jesus Christ. You're made right with God. Your sins are forgiven and you're on your way to heaven. But sanctification, and that's a process. That's a process because God saves you, saves me, but he doesn't leave us the way we are. The progress of becoming more and more like Jesus is called sanctification. And little by little, we are being changed and becoming more and more like Jesus as we receive more of that glory. As more of the glory of God, as the more that we see the face of Jesus in God's Word, and as we submit to the God's Word and God's Word is changing our lives, the more we're becoming more and more like Jesus and we're receiving more of the glory of God. And it's revealing more to us. Now, the longer you're a Christian, the further you feel away from God. Isn't that true? The more you are a Christian, the more you feel like, man, your sin keeps on being revealed to you. Your shortcomings, your mistakes, and you're like, oh, sometimes you get discouraged, sometimes you don't. But you go through this, right? The closer you get to the light, the more the light shows you things that are wrong with your life. Respond to that light. Embrace the light. People who don't know Jesus, you know what they do with that light? Oh, they don't want anything to do with it. Bible gets opened up, we'll start preaching. Right? Time to do devotions. Oh, I'm on Facebook. I'll be there in a minute. Time to read God's Word. Time to go to church. Oh, got something else to do. Running from the light. Embrace it. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, you should want to embrace that light. You should want to embrace this light. And so has this encounter happened to you? Have you ever come to a place in your life where you realize that you were heading on the wrong pathway, away from God? Has the light of God's glory revealed to you the sin of your heart? All of us come to Christ in different ways, but make no mistake, if you've never had an experience of God's light coming into your life, you've not met Jesus. You've not met Jesus. Paul is going to continue with his testimony here in verses 7 through 11. He falls to the ground. He hears a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Paul, at this point, he doesn't know who's speaking to him. He just thinks it's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's read the stories of in the Bible, how these different encounters of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob meeting the Lord. So he just thinks that that's who it is. He's going to be shocked. He's going to be shocked because when he asks, who is it? Verse 8, who are you? And the words come to him, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. When Paul heard those words, it was a shock to him. He's been wrong. He's been wrong all his life. And some of us are sitting here today. You've been wrong all your life, thinking you're heading on the right pathway, and you're not. You're not. I pray for God's light to come shining into your soul and to reveal to you where you're at spiritually. I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. I love Paul's first words. Verse 10, he said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, arise. I mean, think about it. The very first words out of a Christian's mouth. Lord, what do you want me to do? It's not about me. Me time is over. Lord, what do you want me to do? I am here to serve you. I am here to follow you. And the Lord gives him his words and tells him what he wants him to do. I got to find where I'm on my notes here. I don't know where I am. I'm just going to go to my third point if that's okay with you. Paul says, what do you want me to do? He was led by the hand by those who were with him. And so Paul is giving his testimony of how he came to know the Lord. He continues demonstrating how he truly met Jesus by showing, now he's going to show the present change in his life. That's found in verses 17 to 21. Our change in our present life because of Christ. In these verses 17 to 21, Paul is going to reveal the change that is in his life. Listen to what it says here. Now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple. You got to understand, his prayer is different now. He's not going to pray like he used to pray as a Jewish man. He has a whole much more insight of who Jesus is. All the Old Testament scriptures that prophesies concerning the Messiah who was going to come are now clicking. And he's praying in his temple, right? But that's not what I want to bring to your attention. He's praying, and then he begins to go into a trance. And he says in verse 18, "And I saw him saying to me, 'Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me.'" Paul's thinking, hey, I got a great testimony. You know, come on, God, just let me loose. Because they know, everyone in Jerusalem knows that I used to try to kill Christians. Now look at me. You've saved me. Just let me loose. And they'll all want to receive Jesus. And Jesus says, no, I know more than you do. They're going to want to kill you. Get out of Jerusalem. But that's not really what I want to bring to your attention. What I want to bring to your attention is Paul's revealing something about his life. You see, his relationship with God before was just consisted of the temple, the sacrifices, the rituals and the festivals. That was what his relationship with God was all. You know, if you go to some churches, you stand up at a certain time, a priest or somebody reads the scriptures, and then you sit back down and you sit back up and you go back and forth and you kind of go through all these rituals, maybe confess your sins to a man, and you do all these different things. And some Christians who are maybe sitting here today, you might go to rituals. Your life is based on external things. And you determine that's how you think you're a Christian because of these external things, things you do. You go to church, you read your Bible, right? You do good things. That's how you think you're a believer in Jesus. But look how Paul reveals to us the change that has happened in his life. Jesus speaks to him. And what does Paul do? Paul speaks back to the Lord. What does that tell you? That tells you that Paul now has a personal relationship with God through his son Jesus. It's a personal relationship. When you meet Jesus, there's a lot of changes that take place in your life, but the greatest change is you have a personal relationship with God. You can talk to God. You don't have to go to a man to talk to him. You can get directly on your knees and pray, and you might not get a trance like he got, but you can open up your Bible. And as you're reading the words of God, God speaks to you in your heart. And you can talk to God and have this personal dialogue and personal relationship with the Lord. I love how this happens. A personal relationship. God spoke to him directly. And what did he do? He obeyed the Lord. He obeyed the Lord. Well, how about you? How about me? Do you know the voice of the Lord? Do you know the voice of the Lord? Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Did you hear that? Jesus says, "My sheep," those are those who are believers in Jesus. You have the sheep and you have the goats. Sheep are followers of believers in Jesus. The goat are non-believers. On judgment day, he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Jesus says in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So how does a person know if they are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? By this change that has taken place. You hear the voice of the Lord. I'm not talking about an audible voice like Paul got, but I'm talking about the voice of Jesus that comes through the scriptures as you're reading God's word. God speaks to you, reveals to you the condition of your life or blessings and promises. And as God's word is ministering to you, and then you pray and you talk to the Lord, you have this relationship with God. We as believers in Christ show that we're truly believers in Christ by hearing his voice. But not just by hearing his voice, but by doing what he says. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and they what? They follow me. It's not just by hearing the voice of the Lord. Believers show they're truly believers by not just hearing, but by following the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul indicated that he was truly a follower. His life is radically changed. He met Jesus, and he'll never be the same. He's a completed Jew. His life is radically changed. It begs the question for all of us to ask our own life. Where are we in our own life? Do you have a past that you can talk about? Is it the past? You could talk about your past, or are you still living in the past? Your sins still have a hold on you. There is no clear break from the pattern of sin. And listen, sin doesn't have to be just external things like adultery and fornication and living outside and having sex outside of marriage and things of that nature. Those are all external things that people can see. It doesn't have to be those kind of sins. It could just be thoughts. Thoughts in your own life. Thoughts about your life. You could be sitting here thinking that you are a good person, a religious person, and holding on to your religion and your goodness, thinking that that's what's going to get you into heaven. And you're going to hear the words of Jesus saying, depart from me, I never knew you. Are you still living in your past, thinking that you're a good person, morally upright? If you think God will let you into heaven because you're religious and you believe in God, I have bad news for you. It's not going to happen that way. I submit to you that Paul's testimony reveals to us that there needs to be a change in a person's life. When the light from God comes into your heart and you have an encounter with Jesus, your heart, your thoughts about yourself and all of your sin, it all changes. Your life radically changes. And so the question is, has this happened to you? Have you had this encounter with the Lord? If after hearing God's word this morning, would you like to have that kind of change take place in your life? Would you like to have that kind of change take place in your life? Well, listen to me. Call out to Jesus where you are sitting right now. Call out to him. Put your personal trust in Jesus, who hung on a cross and died for your sins and was buried and rose again. The best way you know how, if you know you're a sinner, if you know you deserve to go to hell, call out to Jesus. Jesus, save me. If you've never called out to Jesus for him to save you, God's light has not come into your heart. God will send Christ into your hearts. You will experience new life. You will want to do his will. Your heart will say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I am here, Lord. Take my life. I want to follow you. I want to go wherever you want me to go. You will hear his voice. You will have a personal relationship with God. Your desire will be to follow him, to do what he wants you to do. And so I'm going to ask everyone to bow their heads and to close their eyes and just to think about what you've heard this morning regarding Paul's testimony. If your desire is today to call out to Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, do that right now in your own words, the best way you know how. Call out to Jesus. Invite him to come into your heart.